You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast. Let's be joyful. Let's be exciting. The Ashes is nearly over. The humiliation is nearly complete. The play, they've probably been able to, you know, charter an earlier flight. It's cricket, isn't it? It's in a Hobart. There were 17 wickets or something today. There's plenty of fun. I'm sure we'll find some content to talk about, even if it's the same content as a few of our other shows. I am Jack Hope. I don't know if I said this was the Cricket Podcast, but I just launched into a rant about Hobart. But you listen to the Cricket Podcast. And that is Ross Legg in his white T-shirt. You're looking very angelic there, Ross, backlit.
Yep. After your point around the church, I'm just trying to make sure that I've got as much light as possible.
Yes. Yeah, frescas, I think, is the word I was looking for. Do you remember? The beginning of the show was basically me saying, I can't remember the word. Fresca, I think, is the word that I was thinking of. Ross, before we get into talking about all of the carnage, it was a very difficult day for batting. Carnage is the word. What are the messages for our listeners?
You can follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And if you're watching us on YouTube, then like this video, subscribe to our channel. We're on the road to 10K. We're so close 10K. To being there. Only 600 more people to go.
Yeah. We had a nice growth spurt when the Ashes started and people were like, oh, this is new and exciting and could go either way. Now we're in the growth pit of despair.
People were just like, I can't believe they're getting up every day to watch the Ashes and still talk about it on the podcast. That's the thing that people are. This is an endurance race, not a sprint.
Yeah, that's the thing. Exactly. Yeah.
And then we've also got Patreon. We are revamping our Patreon options, as Jack was mentioning yesterday. So go on to Patreon, sign up, contribute to the show, so I can get a better microphone because this one's rubbish.
Do you want to know something, Ross?
I would love to know something.
The revamp is complete.
The revamp is woohoo!
The revamp is complete. I can read out what you get if you become a patron. It's pretty good now. I just have to work out. So keep doing your messages and I'll bring that up.
And then also, if you're listening to us on Spotify, they've introduced a rating feature. So give us a 5-star on there because we know you love the show. Jack? We've got the Patreon thing up.
Yeah. So we have added, if you are a Patreon, there are a few things you already got. You got the whole history of the IPL, the ball by ball data for that. So if you're into cricket analytics, if you're into the IPL, you can, you know, find out who was the best number four in the year 2012 that played for Delhi or RCB. You can go into that and you can get like an exact breakdown, all the stats you want, who gets who out, blah, 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 blah. You can really go deep. On all of that. We were answering your questions at a higher level. There was some meet and greet, etc. That kind of thing. And you got access to us. You could chat with us whenever you wanted to through Patreon. But here's what we're adding that will be new. We will be recording a monthly Patreon exclusive episode. It won't be a topical show. It'll be something a little bit different. Just our thoughts on a certain facet of the game or whatever idea we come up with. Maybe we'll make a documentary series, Ross. You had the idea, didn't you, to do the Alan Stanford documentary about 2 years ago?
Yes,
and we never did it. And then the guys from Tailenders swooped in and stole it from us. I don't know. We probably won't be that to begin with, but it could be. Who knows? On a quarterly basis, we'll also be doing a live Q&A with Patreons exclusively. We'll probably do that via Zoom, so you can log in, say hello to us virtually. And to make things a little bit more interactive, we're not sure where this will go, but we're starting with this. We're going to do a best men's cricketer competition. And if you are a patron, you get to vote in that. So your vote will go towards the Cricket Podcast Best Men's Cricketer Award. In addition to our votes, Ross, you'll be logging your votes soon, I hope. I did mine today. And all of the guests that we get on the show will be voting too. Think of it like the Ballon d'Or, but for cricket. That's what we're launching.
Yeah, that's what we want. We'll give it a French name as well. I think that's what people want. Yeah, the Bat Door.
The back door.
The back door.
Come and vote. That's, and you get all of that for $5. There's some higher levels as well where you get a hat, and if you want to support the show a little bit more, then do that. But there's some good stuff on Patreon. It's on the screen at the bottom below me if you're on YouTube or in the show notes. patreon.com/thecricketpod. $5, £4, 409 rupees, 7 Aussie dollars. And they're the main markets covered. Ross, let's get back to the cricket. That was a little bit of an interlude for Patreon there. But let's talk about the cricket. What happened today for people who were just waking up?
Wickets. You were definitely right, Jack. There were 17 that fell today. Last night we said on the podcast that England had to have a big first hour and kind of get through them. If they get anywhere close to 300, then we are in trouble. They got very close to 300. They got 303 in total. Mm-hmm. Alex Carey, a bit of a scratchy 24 off of 60 balls. Really doesn't look like the Alex Carey we've seen play before. Mitchell Starc and Cummins didn't come off this time, but Nathan Lyon decided to turn it on the style. He did so well, in fact, that he managed to get himself out of the night watchman role, because they were just like, his runs down the order are so valuable. He boomed three sixes in his innings and was ably supported by Scott Boland as well, who came out tonight and managed to see off the torrid abuse from Mark Wood's hostile bowling. England, again, they probably did as well as they probably could do, right? I think it was inevitable that there was going to be a partnership at the end. We thought there'd be about 70 runs. There was about 70 runs. And it was set up perfectly for Australia, who took a good innings lead. Like, England are yet to get to 300. And so already it was a mental blow. Then this clown car started getting rid of the clowns, didn't it, out of it. They opened the door. Rory Burns slipped and he was run out in painful fashion. Zach Crawley got bumped out. And then, again, Daddy Root and Dawid Milan, we were just like, oh, do you know what? Bit of a partnership forming here. This is looking good. But no, it's just a torrid, torrid time. Unfortunately, the recall of Ollie Pope didn't do anything, which is a shock to everybody. Sam Billings looked okay, actually, in his Test match debut. And Chris Wokes, probably with the worst 36 you'll ever see. Somehow, one of those innings where you just couldn't get out. It was just in that position where anything that he did, it was just like, oh, well, I've managed to avoid that somehow. And Starc finally got the man. And again, it just wasn't good enough for England. Like, we talk again that we couldn't restrict them in bowling, where Australia hit 300. But batting-wise, we hit 188. And it was feeble, an absolutely feeble attempt. And I think we woke up to messages from you, the cricket group and everything, and just people would be like, it's embarrassing. Like, we are just an embarrassment when it comes to Test cricket at this point in time. And so Australia had to bat again in the same day, purely on the fact that, they'd rolled us and they had a tricky bit, tricky 2 hours of the evening with the ball under lights. And England did okay. Like, mm-hmm. I think if England, looking back on that, actually, we bowled really well. I think that the conditions obviously suited England very nicely. We got Warner out, and it's amazing now you look back you did get a pair. It's amazing that you look back on why Stuart Broad wasn't in the side first and foremost, because he's got David Warner on toast yet again. Usman Khawaja got a brutal bouncer from Mark Wood, one of the best bouncers I think I've ever seen. And he was caught behind, but not before Marnus Labuschagne was out to Chris Wokes. And a good catch strangled down the leg side from Sam Billings. But then Scott Boland, 25 deliveries, blocking out as the night watchman. And Jack, we're not massive fans of the night watchman, are we here? But I think this was a move from Australia to be like, do you know what? Our selection has been great throughout this series. Every time we've changed number fives, they've scored a century. You've got Travis Head coming in, and then Usman Khawaja hits back-to-back centuries at five.
Scott Boland
is on for a century in this innings. You've heard it here first. That summarises the game.
There was one, I was doing comms this morning for Guerrilla Cricket, just before, I don't know, the second break in day-night test matches. I still don't really know what it's called. Is it dinner? The evening break. Tea. It's not tea, though, is it? Because it's too late for tea. It's like first pint of the day break. that's what it coincides with in my lifestyle. Billings and Pope are batting together, and somebody I was on comms with said, oh, this is a really nice little partnership they've got going here. 25 they had on the board, and Pope was out the very next ball. Literally, they said that we had time to acknowledge the fact that 25 wasn't really a very good partnership, and then somebody was out the ball after. And that's what we've been reduced to, isn't it, really? You know, from an England point of view, Milan and Root have actually had some partnerships. Stokes and Bairstow had an innings, or had one in one innings, didn't they? Otherwise, it's been pretty sparse. And even though it looked like it got a little bit better after the SCG, it looked like that you know, maybe Crawley had found a groove. Maybe he has. We don't know. I mean, he's failed today, but...
I see what you say, he's failing. Yeah. 18's far better than what we used
point,
to.
Actually. Yeah, fair point. He was in a really good partnership with David Milan. It was worth, hold on, let me get this up. It was worth, 27.
That's a great partnership.
Yeah. I don't know. It's as you say, Ross, it's just fucking awful, really, isn't it? There's no real cause for optimism.
It's the end of a tough tour, right? We've been banjaxed by Australia. Like, the Australian bowling line has been phenomenal. Every batsman in their side has hit runs at some point or another. And it's just something that England haven't been able to do consistently well at all, really. And I think people who sit there and say, oh, look, England's bowling's not brilliant. Our batting is absolutely atrocious. I mean, you're not going to solve that when you haven't got any other players other than James Vince and Sam Billings in the country that you can pick from. So, I'm still surprised they picked Ollie Pope again. He did a fantastic catch at backward point to get rid of Warner. But his contribution this tour has been, other than catching, he's been negligible.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I'd like to challenge that have been the narratives that are out there.
Yep.
First of all, John Lewis, the England bowling coach, had a pop at Ollie Robinson yesterday, and it's, you know, at that point in time it seemed like there was justification for that. He was labouring, he had back spasms. As it turns out, Ollie Robinson has bowled like way more than any English bowler in first class cricket in the last 2 years, bowled way more overs last year than any English bowler, took more wickets and had a better average. So I'm not sure Ollie Robinson is the problem. Interesting person to scapegoat your best player, basically, or your second best player for the last 9 months. That's a little bit curious. The second thing is that there's a very strange narrative going around, perpetuated by Cricketing View on Twitter, who is a writer for ESPN Cricket Info. The problem for England is not actually their batting, which, you know, let's leave 300 aside here. I think they failed to make 200 five times on this tour. Their batting performance today, I was joking about this with somebody else. This was their second best first innings deficit of the tour. At the halfway stage in these five test matches, this is the second best performance they came up with. A deficit of, I think it was 117 at the changeover. The 122 at the SCG was next best. And I think 80 somewhere, I can't remember where, but it was 80 in one test. They've had deficits of 200, like 180. This is a pretty good performance. There's a view being perpetuated erroneously that England's problem on this tour has been the bowling. I've got some thoughts about that, Ross, but I don't know if you've seen that going round, and I don't know if you agree with it. Maybe you do.
I think after one of the test matches is where it started. And I think I couldn't resist responding. So I'm definitely of the view that it is the bowler's fault.
You're of the view that it's the bowler's fault?
It can't be anything else, can it, Jack? Like, the bowlers are not hitting enough runs. That's the issue. Like, their role down the bottom of the order is to hit runs, and they're just not doing it on a consistent basis. They're not bailing out the top of the batting lineup. So what are they there for, Jack? Why don't we put a team of batters up against a team of batters and see what happens, shall we?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's strange that anyone would think this, to be honest. Now, look, England's bowlers probably aren't as good as Australians' bowlers in Australian conditions. That I don't think is a controversial statement to make either. I think Cummins is, you know, probably the best bowler in the world, I'd say. I've seen a lot of Bumrah and Cummins side by side, basically, over the last 2 weeks. And I think Cummins has consistently outbowled Bumrah, who I maybe have had as the number one until this series. It's been a long time since Cummins had played a test match. So it fluctuates between those two, doesn't it? Stark's had a fantastic series. He's gone from strength to strength. And Scott Boland, his average is now over 10. It's in double digits with the ball.
Embarrassing.
But you can't really fault like 15 wickets in three tests at 10, can you? Or whatever it is, or 17 wickets in three tests at 10. We thought Akshar Patel was a revelation. This bloke is something else in these kind of conditions. So yeah, look, Australia's bowling has been better than England's, but they're not really up against much, are they? It's, if you look at this side by side, so the theory goes that England have lost this series because their bowling is bad, because even when Smith, Labuschagne and Warner fail, Australia still managed to get 300, which completely takes agency away from Cameron Green and Travis Head and Usman Khawaja, who have all three of them have played some brilliant innings across this series. And if you compare them side by side with their English counterweight, who's the fourth best English batter on this tour? Throwing it open to you here.
Bairstow?
Head or Bairstow?
You're taking Travis Head. He's the leading run scorer in the series.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even if you take it, if you look zoom out from this series and you just say career side by side, you'll take, like, Travis Head looks like a better player. Who's England's fifth best batter?
Milan?
It's not, no, because Milan's like England's second best. We've got Root, Stokes, Milan, maybe. Yeah. Milan could Bairstow. Be the fourth best. Bairstow could be in the top. He could be on the podium. But you get the general point. Yeah, so England's fifth best batter.
It might be Butler.
Could be Hamid. Could be Zach Crawley. You're definitely taking Khawaja. There's no contest. Same for Cameron Green. It's what up against one of the dross picks. Seventh best batter, Stark. Stark for Australia has comfortably, maybe not comfortably, but it's been kind of close to the Wokes, but I think Stark has been better. And this is also ignoring the fact that of the top three batters on either side, Labuschagne, Smith and Warner.
Wokes has been the best. Like if Paul Lamb,
but like if not, I'm talking career-wise, you know, Root probably stands up certainly in the last 2 years with someone like Smith, who you say is probably Australia's best batter. Mm-hmm. England's second best batter versus Labuschagne is no contest. And England's third best batter versus Warner is no contest. That's where the series has been lost. And I just we're sort of running out of ways to talk about England being bad at batting. So we're being creative here a little bit and coming up with another angle. But if you are interested in how cricket works, then that's the problem, isn't it? It's fundamentally England are a team of players that,
but that's not a difficult bit.
Can't compete batting wise.
And it's not a difficult bit of analysis, is it? Like that's the biggest thing for me. Like you look at this information that you're right in front of you, and someone is going, right, here's all of the evidence, and someone's just going, yeah, but I don't believe you. It's like having an anti-vax approach to what's happening with England's performance.
It's anti-vax. That's what it is.
It's mental. Anyway,
so England bad at batting. Australia pretty good with the ball again. Cummins. What I love about Cummins, I think we sort of said this on the last show, is that he's the best bowler in the world in five different forms. So he could be probably the best bowler in the world just by bowling like pretty fast or in the frame. He could be the best bowler in the world just because of his control. He could be the best bowler in the world because of the movement he gets on the ball. But he is able to combine all of these things at will and basically screw you any way he chooses. He can look at you and be like, well, there's a weakness to the ball moving away here, so get some of that Ollie Pope. There's a weakness to the ball coming in. See you later, Joe Root. Another masterclass from him. He's been hunting in a pretty successful pack. But just head and shoulders above the rest, I think, skill wise.
I agree, and I think what we need to talk about is like this is his first series as captain as well, right? He's been great, like he genuinely has been great, and I think they've managed their team really well. We got an email late last night, didn't we, from an Australian PE teacher?
Oh yes, yeah. No, don't read out where his work was. He's not just a PE teacher; he's a very He's got. This is what I wondered.
Head of department.
Okay. Well, now you have to anonymize who this is because you can't read out his name. Okay. Jeff. Let's call him Jeff.
Jeff. But he from knows. Brisbane.
Fucking hell.
But he's talking. He's pretty much said that Australian selectors, like everything Australia have done this series from.
Have you got the email up?
Yeah, I've got it in front of me. I can just read it out.
Yeah, read it out. Cheers, Jeff. You know who you are. You're not Jeff, but
yeah.
You sent it from your work email. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, long time.
I think
listener.
He was bragging about his job.
I think so. I mean, if you're the head of department or the head of a PE department, what more are you doing? Especially if you're a cricket fan, long time listener, first time caller. I've really enjoyed listening to you lads over the summer to get an English perspective on the Ashes. I'd like to propose the Aussie selectors as the men of the series for the following reasons. Opted for Head over Khawaja in first test in Brisbane. Head makes 100. Opted for Richardson in the second test in Adelaide. Richardson takes a fifer. Opted for Boland in the third test. You lads know the rest. Opted for Khawaja in the fourth test. Twin tons for Rizzi. Opted for Head over Harris in the fifth test. Scores a ton. Obviously, some of local intel helps. However, the performances on those select 50-50 calls has been top dollar. So that just sums it up, really. Like how brilliant that they have been. And it comes back to, again, Cummings being selected as captain was a huge thing for Australia. The way in which they've approached this has been great. Yes, they haven't had to do bio bubbles and all those kind of excuses that are at the start, but they have been phenomenal. And they are pounding England into the ground. And they were only one ball away from winning the other test that we managed to salvage a draw on. And unfortunately, Steve Smith had to bowl it. Like, it's just because of the light.
Yeah, they had two Cummins overs fresh back for a new spell. Look, I'm not a betting man, unlike Mr. Steve in the chat, who's just placed £150 on England. I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I'd be betting on Cummins over James Anderson in that situation. George Bailey is the head selector, isn't he, for Australia? The namesake of James Stewart's character in A Wonderful Life. Don't know, take from that what you will. Something about angels. There's an angel in it. Clarence. Maybe he has an angel called Clarence who's providing some guidance and is contributing to success on those 50-50 calls. If you've seen the It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey, famously, he's going to jump into the freezing river to commit suicide after he loses $8,000, which is a lot of money in 1947.
And no doubt that's what Mr. Steve in the chat's going to lose as well.
And so the angel Clarence, who hasn't earned his wings, comes down and shows George Bailey what life would be like if George Bailey didn't exist. And maybe that's what's happened here. Maybe the real George Bailey, the head of selectors for Australia, has been shown by an angel Clarence, or maybe the angel Shannon Gabriel. Has been shown what would have happened if he'd made the other side of those calls, picked Khawaja in the first test, not picked Boland, picked someone else instead of Richardson, blah, 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 blah. Maybe he has had insight and has made those correct calls for the good of Australia. It's a bit of a stretch, isn't it? You know, but it's a theory. That's how science works. Ross, what else have we got to talk about from today?
I think it's just I think England fans might be able to sit there and chastise like how England have come across like Tim Walton Davis in the chat now talking about will anything change with the ECB. Like England's whole thing has been pretty dire, really, if we're honest. We've picked the wrong players, but at the same time, like actually there might just not be better ones at this point in time. We haven't got a massive crop of things to select from. Or the flip side of that is that our selection process is fundamentally broken. And depending on which way you want to see it, depends on what's going to happen. But I think a load of credit has to go to the Australians because they've just done everything better than us. Everything. Anyway, let's talk about something else because it's a bit too depressing to be.
What do you want to talk about?
Let's just talk about religion, or let's talk about
We do have a couple of questions. VJ Ruban asked, this is the only question actually, and then we might have one in the chat. So if you've got any questions for the chat, and especially if they're not about the Ashes, I guess, then we'll do 5-10 minutes of impromptu Q&A. VJ says, was Tom Harrison's comments about resetting English cricket to prioritise the test team too late to save his job? I don't really know who fires Tom Harrison, and I think he's from the Boris Johnson school of shame, i.e. he has none, didn't go to that particular class. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's here for the long haul. How long? I think he has to hang around for a little bit longer to make sure he trousers that £2 million, doesn't he? For whatever he did.
Yeah, I can't believe that. It's just absolutely mental. Like, it's that bit, like, no matter what you do, you still get rewarded. Like, failing up is just ridiculous.
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. He'll probably walk into like a non-exec role on some board somewhere.
And this one, like, cricket business segment is back.
This is cricket business.
I think this is what amazes me around this kind of stuff. Like, failing upwards when, and as you say, like, he's probably got a job lined up after the ECB, which is going to pay him a nice cushy salary. He's going to have a really easy life, and yet all the evidence suggests that he's a bit of an idiot. Was it right in front of you in one of the, like, let's be honest, it can't be that difficult to run English cricket. I don't think so.
You've just got to like gin and tonic, really. And if you can knock back the gins, you don't want to say anything embarrassing in front of the other people that matter. Mm-hmm. Like, and by that, I don't mean like all this bollocks about Test cricket, the stuff that we think is embarrassing. I mean, you need to know like which fork to eat with in the long run.
You got to make sure your egg and bacon tie is the right one.
Exactly. Yeah, you need to know the difference between a morning suit and a smoking jacket and all of that. That's really where the skill is in being the head honcho of English cricket.
Yeah, there's a difference between knowing what a port glass is and what a sherry glass is. That's the kind of stuff that you need to be. And actually, as an England administrator, that can't be that difficult. But somehow this guy seems to make it look really difficult.
He's still going, isn't he? I don't think he will. I don't think he'll go anywhere. We have some questions in the chat. There's some good ones. What are your thoughts on what's happening with Djokovic in Australia? That's a good one, Paul. Ross, what do you reckon about that?
Absolutely hilarious.
It's quite funny, isn't it?
One just shows you how mental I think you're mental twice there. It's probably not very correct. So there's how ridiculous the Australian government is, but also and how Djokovic is kind of seemingly like kind of a, what's the word? I'm trying not to make this too political, if I'm perfectly honest, Jack, but you've got this.
Well, the next question is which religion is best and why? So
you've got this wonderfully like talented person who has got so much white privilege and he's a rich white man. And then he's stuck in a detention center with a system that is typically around pushing down on other people getting into the country. And it's amazing how that is being. Oh, it's a disgrace that he's having to stay in this kind of hotel, stay in this kind of thing, getting detained, when people have to go through that every single day. And just a rich, powerful white man getting the treatment. And it's just quite, it's shining a light where Australia don't want a light to be shone. And it's also showing that Djokovic is just a bit of a twat, really, isn't it? So,
yeah, well said. Tim, we're going to dodge the religion question, if that's right with you.
Cricket's the only religion, mate.
What else? This is a great one. Do you think KS Bharat should be England's second choice Test wicketkeeper?
Should be England's or is
India's second choice top? I don't know. Yeah, why not? I mean, Ridham and Saha's old. Why did Burns come back into the side? They've got no other options. That one's simple.
It was really funny. Burns.
I felt sorry for him. I think. Yeah. I was just like, oh, when your luck's out.
What I like about it, on all like the all the scorecards and things like that, is referred to as Rory Joseph Burns. No other cricketers actually like that. They don't say all three names, but Rory Joseph Burns is up there on the Google scorecard, and I don't know why.
Mr. Steve says, if I win my bet, I will donate the entirety of the bet to this channel, in exchange for my flag being placed to next to your logo for the next three podcasts.
That your flag, like a good deal. Have you got a flag?
Let's just double check what the flag is before we want a little bit of control over the flag, but we do generally like the idea.
Yeah.
And do you think Scott Bonner should be considered for one of the county sides? I would be surprised if someone isn't making some calls as we speak on that front. He'll be playing at the next Ashes in England, I'd have thought. It looks like he's a match made in heaven for a nibbly one at Headingley.
Well, as Aditya points out, that Boland has root in his pocket, so there is a thing like that. But I think it's interesting.
And everyone else in the England batting lineup too. It's a very big pocket.
Yeah, it's a very deep pockets on Boland. I felt kind of sorry for him when he got shoved out to bat tonight. Like he did really well to survive against what was a really good bowling spell from Wood. Yeah. And I think Boland is an interesting one because Australia have just got this habit of just having a good third or fourth seamer just hanging around somewhere. Stuart Clarke was unbelievable. Ben Hilfenhaus caused England trouble, and Ryan Harris. So there's always like this third or fourth seamer that just absolutely terrorizes England every now and again, and it's just it's a great production line they've got there.
It is. It certainly is. We'll finish on this one because we're going to do some IPL stuff soon. So we can, a little warm up, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like the first run of the year, I guess, this will be on the IPL. Who is the next foreign pace bowler to be picked for a high price in the IPL auction? Well, Chris Morris went, didn't he? Not went, retired. So he's off the docket. If you were, I don't know, Lucknow, Ahmedabad, somebody who wants a fast bowler from abroad, who are you going to pick?
We always think around recency bias, don't we, right? When someone performs well against India, their price goes up again.
So Shaheen Afridi.
I think Rabada is definitely going to go for big money because he's not been retained.
Rabada. Yeah.
And I think Norkia didn't even play, but Norkia's been retained by Delhi, isn't he? Rabada and Marco Jansen, I reckon there'll be a nice little bidding war for them because Jansen can bat as well. Rabada can boom some sixes. So, yeah, I think they're the big time. And also, I want to call out Royal Dong in the chat saying we don't have any idea who KS Barrett is. Like, we've watched more IPL than anyone, I reckon, in Western media. I'm going to put that. Yeah.
He's Big Boy Barrett, as we call him on the pod.
Big Boy Barrett.
I don't think it'll be Jameson. No, someone's put that in the chat. I don't think it'll be Jameson. Woody hasn't had a go in the IPL, has he? I think
he pulled out last minute, didn't he, last time? Yeah. So he pulled out the day before the auction.
He would have been a millionaire, I think, based on the prices that people were going for. Probably already is a millionaire, to be honest. But I think if he throws his name in, someone will put 5 crore on Wood. And it'll probably be a decent pickup as well. I mean, if you look, you could have Wood or Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson? Johnson. The NFL wide receiver. Chris Jordan. That their options probably be similarly paid, but one will be a well-informed decision and one will not, I'd have thought. Apart from that, we don't know. Ross, should we wrap this up? Be a pretty quick one today. We're back. You're back tomorrow, aren't you, with Shane Deets, head of Netherlands women's cricket, ex-South Australia player, to probably tell us all about how England have got it wrong again, which will be fun. So see you later, everyone else. I'm off playing football with the lads.
The lads.
Final reminder, patreon.com/thecricketpod. Go over there. We've got some serious good stuff lined up. Go and get your vote in as well. If you are a Patreon guy, go over to your Patreon account. In your messages will be your voting slip for the best men's cricketer in the world. Because you're a Patreon, you get equal voting power as Ross and myself and Dan Norcross, which is good, isn't it? You know, that's democracy, baby. As long as you pay to enter, which is also a little bit like democracy, but we've done politics for this show. Patreon.com/thecricketpod. See you later.
Have a good weekend.